Hey guys, it's Jim Costa from Cash the Ticket. If you're planning on betting the NFL playoffs, buckle up. Betting football's hard enough as it is. We're doing the research for you, so listen to Cash the Ticket with Mike Valeni and I. We'll be dropping new episodes for every single playoff game. And that's going to be storylines leading into it, so some good football stuff, but also the betting nuggets you're looking for. Sides, totals, trends, player props, throw those in there too. Pre-game and post-game, we're going to be all over the postseason. Subscribe to Cash the Ticket on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the midday show. Hugh Douglas, Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio today. You want to get in 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Looking at this big Thursday night football game tonight, and this is going to be exciting to watch this one. The Green Bay Packers at the Detroit Lions, and a game we're going to have our eyes on in Philadelphia. Very simple. Packers win this game. Eagles move ahead of the Lions for the time being, control their own destiny, would be in line to get that one seed. I think the one seed's really important, especially for a team that hasn't had a bye since week five, early October. You're talking about going four straight months of playing every single week if you're going to win a Super Bowl. I just think getting that week off, getting two playoff games at home, much different than have to play all those weeks in a row and three and one on the road. Man, I mean, you need that bye week.
I tell you what, desire is a powerful thing, man. It really is. And what I saw last weekend against the Baltimore Ravens was desire. Like, this team played a whole third quarter. They were out there, and they showed no signs of being tired. They were very resilient. Now, I understand how much rest would do for them. There's still potential, if it doesn't work out the way that we want it to, for that to happen. Because when we talk about that last game, if everything's locked up, then that last game could potentially be a game where, you know, you could rest some guys. But when you're in a situation where the city that you play in, for the most part, has been not behind you, I'll just say that, or been real skeptical about what you bring to the table, when you have so many guys on one side of the ball that have been criticized the way that some of these defensive players have been criticized. People didn't even know whether or not N'Kobe Dean could play. People didn't know whether or not N'Kobe Dean could stay healthy. You got a guy who came from the New Orleans Saints that was a special teams guru, special teams maven, and played, and now he's playing a position where he's thriving at. So much so that people are talking about that he should be in some of the MVP talk and, you know, the defensive player of the year talk and all the other good stuff, the way that he's playing.
Sure.
They're comparing him to some of the best linebackers in the game. You got two rookies back there on the back end that are playing extremely well, better than anybody else can anticipate. Have a defensive tackle, Jordan Davis, that a lot of people thought was a bust. Jalen Carter, not living up to his potential, doing it now. So there's a lot of motivating factors on that side of the football. I'm not going to even talk about the other side of the football. I just feel like right now, whatever the message is that Vic Fangio, and on top of that, let me pull it back just a little bit. And Vic Fangio, a guy who last year, some players, think about this. Players voted him out because they said that he didn't treat him right, or he talked crazy to him.
In Miami, yeah.
You know, and I'll be the first to tell you, initially when all this stuff was going down and, you know, when Bryce Huff wasn't playing, I kind of felt a little bit of that, but I was wrong about that. I ain't apologizing, but I was wrong. And he has this defense playing extremely well right now. So there's a lot to motivate this defense right now. There's a lot of motivating factors in this that makes me feel strongly that it don't matter in the parking lot, In Detroit, in Canada, wherever they have to play, I feel like this defense is going to be ready for the task.
I get it. I just worry about that workload. I mean, catching up to them. I mean, Jalen Carter, 2 weeks ago against Washington, played 66 out of 66 snaps. On Sunday, played 70 out of 71 snaps.
And did he look tired?
He didn't. But I worry. I mean, we're talking about another couple months of football being placed on these guys.
You're worrying about the wrong thing, TK. You need a puppy.
Everybody needs a little rest.
You need to get a little puppy. Everybody needs a little puppy, man.
Everybody needs a little rest here and there.
But listen, this is the thing. When you enjoy when you enjoy what you do and you're having fun and work is fun, it's not a chore. It's not. And it feels to me like those guys are having fun. They're playing off of one another. The energy levels are high. And I go back to that third quarter, man. There was a tale of two teams. When you look at our defense in that third quarter and then look at their defense in the fourth quarter, they had a whole quarter to rest.
Right, and it didn't.
And it didn't matter.
It didn't do anything.
They had a whole quarter to rest, and our offense imposed their will on that Baltimore Ravens defense. And they gave a whole quarter.
Yeah.
They was on the sideline chilling. They had the jackets on. They were worn. They were getting – they got beat up. They still got beat up.
It's a fair point. I just look at the numbers last couple years. I mean, the one seed, the numbers will tell you, very important for
man,
the playoffs.
To me, numbers don't matter.
215-592-9494.
I'm not that good at math.
If you want to get in, how much does the one seed matter? Do the Eagles need the one seed? Twitter question of the day, sponsored by PI Dental Center. Your smile is the first thing that others see when they meet you. Learn about and schedule your evaluation at PIDentalCenter.com, at WIP Midday Show on Twitter. Do the Eagles need the one seed, yes or no? And it's interesting when you look at the schedules here and how things play out moving forward, because this game is really important tonight. Eagles have a win over Green Bay. The common opponents thing could really come into play. Here was Shil Kapadia earlier this week on comparing the Eagles schedule to the Lions schedule as we move toward the end of the year.
How do we compare to the Detroit Lions?
Yeah, the Lions have the fourth hardest schedule in the NFL going forward. The Eagles have the easiest schedule in the NFL
going forward.
If you look at just kind of the betting market. So they've really got a chance at this one seed. I do think it's a big deal for what you mentioned, John. No one has stopped that Lions offense when they've been indoors and at home. Now, if they have to come to Lincoln Financial Field and play a cold weather game, that's a different animal. The Eagles are going to be favored. If the Eagles play at home, they're going to be favored over the Lions. If they have to go to Detroit, I think the Lions are going to be favored. So they've got a fantastic offensive line. They've got a fantastic run game. They run the ball at a high rate. Their defense has overachieved, but their defense is dealing with way more injuries than the Eagles' defense is dealing with right now. So part of this final stretch is obviously playing well, trying to get that one seed. And the other thing is try to avoid those devastating injuries that can really impact your ceiling in the playoffs.
And again, that's kind of the way I see it as well. I don't think the Eagles are done if they have to go to Detroit by any means, but I do think the Lions are done if they have to come here.
Yeah, I mean, because you're trying to play your favorite. You're trying to play to your favor. But right now, like I said, that is not your destiny. It doesn't feel like that's your destiny because that's not in control. Like right now, the Detroit Lions are in control of that. And if that's the case, then you have to do everything in your power to be prepared for that daunting task of going to Detroit if you have to do that. I'm not afraid of the Lions as well as they're playing. And that's no disrespect to any Lion fan that's out there because they've played well and they've hung a lot of points on a lot of teams. But again, you know, I just go back to that rousing speech that Jason Kelce had after they won the Super Bowl when he talked about, you know, how there was a lot of cast-offs on this team. There's some eerily similar correlations to this team when you talk about guys that there were a lot of question marks about. This linebacker core was talked bad about at the beginning of the year. And, you know, people were wondering whether or not N'Kobe Dean was going to be the starter. Because who do we have? I can't remember the guy's name that never got on the
field. Devin White.
Yeah, Devin White never got on the field for whatever reason. Didn't cut the mustard. The accountability time thread or whatever. You know, all of that. And N'Kobe Dean has played extremely well. Now, they're not the big linebackers that we're used to seeing. But, hell, you'd be hard-pressed to find too many people like that in the NFL now. Hell, yeah. Bobby Wagner's still playing.
Right. And I think it was
because we ain't got that kind of line. They don't make them kind of animals anymore.
As we look back at that, maybe less of an indictment on Devin White. I mean, when you look at N'Kobe Dean and Zach Bond, how they're playing, maybe Devin White wasn't that bad.
Yeah, maybe Vic Fangio saw something that obviously he saw something we didn't see because he didn't get on the field.
Certainly in Zach Bond, he saw something.
Yeah, definitely.
215-592-9494. Do the Eagles need the one seed this year heading into the playoffs? Let's go back to the phones. Mike in Douglasville. What's up, Mike?
Hugh, I ain't got that cricket.
Oh, you must have just been in a bad spot, Mike.
Yeah, it was a bad look, Mike.
Seriously, the one spot on this route where I start losing, because I'm a trash truck driver, one spot I lose signal right there, you guys went to me at the perfect wrong time.
He said the perfect wrong time. All right, dude, that's cool. My bad, dog.
Yeah. You did call us, by the way.
Yeah. Accountability, Mike. Good. Come on, man.
Yeah, no, it's all good. Yeah, listen, this defense, I feel like can travel well. I want the one seed. Don't get me wrong. I'd love to have all the home games and have it come through Philly. But if we got to go to Detroit, I'm really not too concerned about it. I think regardless, it's going to be a dogfight against them, whether it's home or away. I'll tell you what, though. One reason I do want the one seed, because I really think Saquon Barkley is going to get close to this record, and I have a feeling it's going to come down to that last week. If we have the one seed and we have the bye, I would have zero issue with the starters playing a meaningless game so that way they get the record. Now, if we have the two seed and we got to play that following week, I want them to have a week off. So I would be more inclined to sit the starters for that last game, given the two seed, and just kind of let the record be what it is.
Yeah, Mike,
on your thoughts on that.
It's going to be a really interesting decision. Something we were talking about a little bit before the show is, if you're locked into that two seed, what do you do? I'm with you. Like I think you need to sit the guys.
There's a lot on the table, man.
I know.
There's a lot on the table.
I get that Saquon's going to want to get it. I get that his teammates are going to want to get it. But here's the thing. Like, you play Saquon, you got to play everybody. Like, you got to play the full offensive line. And I don't know how you can justify taking that kind of a risk.
Yeah.
Especially with seeing how it went last year when we played A.J. Brown, all the starters in the last game, and A.J. Brown ended up getting hurt. I mean, we lost him for a playoff game. Granted, I think we probably would have gotten shell-shocked anyway because we sucked last year, at the end of the season. But, I mean, if having A.J. Brown in that game, that could have changed it.
Yeah, absolutely, Mike, and appreciate the call, man. Thanks. And, yeah, Hugh, I mean, this is something we had talked about a little bit as we're getting ready for the show here, but where do you fall on this? Because if the Eagles are locking in the two seed, you could have a situation where Saquon's going for that record. As a player, how would you feel about it?
As a player, I would want to try to get it initially, but one caveat. Say if everything's locked up, I'm not playing in the last game. As much as that pains me, because we have bigger fish to fry. It all depends on how close we are to. If it's like 20 yards or something like that, I probably let him try to do that in the first half, you know. But after that, getting out of there. Now, this is the thing. Because people are talking about, well, you know, the offensive linemen are probably going to want to play and everybody's not going to play. Everybody's not going to be able to sit on the bench, dog. Like, the quarterback's not going to play. The starting receivers aren't going to play. Most of those offensive linemen are going to play. They're going to have to, because I don't think we have the numbers to put a whole another offensive line in there. So a couple guys are going to play. Some of them young cats are going to play. So it's one of those things where I look at it like this. There's a good, strong possibility that for Saquon Barkley, this could be wrapped up in 4 weeks, maybe five.
The rushing title?
Yeah.
Wow.
Like
that would be
like
impressive.
No disrespect to Carolina and the fact that they're playing well, but hell, Saquon has been like running to what he had 107 yards last week against the number two run defense in the league. 117. Was it 117?
I believe it was 117.
Okay, well, whatever it was, he had over 100 yards. He's been running extremely well against some good defenses. I would say I don't think that I would be out of place to say 150 yards this weekend. I don't think that's facetious. I don't think that's hyperbole to think that if he holds serve the way he's been holding serve, that 150 yards is impossible for this weekend. Maybe even two. If I'm being real, you know, lofty. Maybe you give us 200
yards. Maybe two. I mean, that's lofty expectations.
Yeah, I mean, but look at the team. Like, right. Like seriously, like all jokes aside, not trying to be extra or trying to, you know, hot take anything, but look at the teams that we have coming up. Pittsburgh Steelers, they've had some yards hung on them. Not getting ahead of myself, Carolina, like I said, we got Carolina. It's a possibility that in the next 2 weeks, 300 yards? 300 yards in the next 2 weeks?
I missed the 2 weeks part.
No, yeah. You was about to say, are you kidding me? No, but just being, you know, on average, 150 yards a game.
Two this week would be great.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So it's not like that's not far-fetched.
No, and it's one of these things where I and if you want to get in on that as well, you're welcome to, is, you know, is that something that should be important? If you get to the last week of the season, say you are locked into the two seed, is it something the Eagles should go for? Where do you fall on that, Kyle? Like, if the Eagles are in that kind of position, are you playing Saquon? Are you playing the guys or not? I'm not. Like, I want him to win the MVP. Ultimately, I don't care about it that much to put him at risk in the final week of the season.
I mean, if it's like 150, no. Right. But if it's, you know, we're talking 75, 100, I'm not saying you put him out there. You got to ask him. You have to ask him. You do. I mean, look, Nick Sirianni's whole thing, we know he's not master strategist. We know he's not offensive guru. You know what he is? He's a player's coach. If he says, no, Saquon, I'm not letting you go for it, and Saquon really wants it in the back of his head, it's the wrong message, man. You have to at least ask him. Like, it's a huge deal. Like, because let me paint this picture for you. It's going to sound, you know, it's going to sound weird to some people. We might not win the Super Bowl with Saquon healthy or injured. Like, we could not win the Super Bowl if Saquon's fully healthy the rest of the season. You know what we could have? We could have the MVP. We could have the rushing record. We could make the season memorable without winning the Super Bowl.
Oh, I disagree. Like, well, let's look at, I mean, it was such a big deal 2 years ago when Joel Embiid won the MVP, right? In the end, I mean, what did it really matter?
Well, all right, but
you
hold
win
on.
MVP,
but, well,
and then they lose in the second round.
Hold on a second.
It's Boston.
Everyone was already mad at the Sixers. And they were saying, can we just please get out of the second round? This isn't Saquon winning an MVP after years and years of Eagles heartbreak, right?
Like begging for the MVP?
Well, right.
Yeah.
This year almost, if we're being honest, kind of came as a surprise to all of us, right? Like, before the season, what did you have the record set at?
Like, yeah, 11-6, okay. 12-5,
yeah, right.
Like,
I mean, they're gonna blast through that. They look like the best team in football right now. So, like, and let me put it this way. They're young. I know the 2022 team, we're like, they'll be back, they'll be back. I think it sort of smacked us in the face, the reality of just how old they were and in need of a turnover, or how soon a turnover was going to be coming with that roster. Man, they're going to be contending for the Super Bowl for years.
This is the thing, man. I don't think you can just count on that in the NFL. I think with injuries, with how hard it is to just go back and be knocking at the door year after year after year, you got to take advantage of it. Now, I would agree with you. Nick will put the ball in Saquon's court. I don't believe Saquon will play. I believe Saquon would say, my health is more important, I'm not going to.
Well, then everybody wins, right? Sirianni gives him the option. Like, I'm not saying you have to put him out there. I'd like to see it just as a fan. But, like, Sirianni has to let him make that decision, I think. And the O-line, right? Like, it's not just him. He does share this record with the O-line. They're going to view it that way. The whole team's going to view it that way. Like, they love Saquon, these guys.
Yep.
So if Nick takes that decision out of his hands, that's...
I don't think he will.
We're going to be dealing with him and Hurts angry with each other for another...
I don't think he will, but I think that this is where it becomes complicated, because I feel as a player, especially a player in the position that Saquon is in, he's already did historic stuff in a small time that he's been here.
Right.
That's a fact. If I think it all depends on how close he is. If he's under 100 yards with the last game of the season, you got to give him a chance to do that. But I think that the weight of that changes with where we are for the bigger fish. Because I look at it like this. Super Bowl, rushing title. That's the order. Super Bowl is right. That's the pinnacle. Rushing title is right there. Because it's an individual accolade, but it isn't, if you understand where I'm going.
Yeah.
But the Super Bowl. Like, you're going to walk with those guys forever in life after this, regardless. But you're really going to be solidified. You punch. Your parking ticket is validated.
And you know what?
With that Super Bowl, dog. That is, man.
That's another reason why the one seed's so important, is if you're lined up for the one seed going into that final week, then we don't have to worry about this. It's like, okay, well, we need to play. We need to win this game anyway. And that would be best case scenario. And that's why this game tonight is so big, so important, that the Packers win it and the Eagles get the one seed. Let's go to Brian and Voorhees. What's up, Brian?
Hey, good morning.
What's up, man?
All right. First off, long-time listener, lifelong Eagles fan. It's a pleasure to be on here with you guys.
Thanks for calling. Appreciate you.
Hugh, man, I don't know how you missed that parlay last week, but thank you. Thank you. I put it all on there. I think
you're talking about the Bears parlay?
Yeah, I don't think I used the money line, though. I did that.
Like, you know what? Because I always do the money line. I do the and I shouldn't have, but I did the money line.
And I think I put some Caleb. I think I put their quarterback to rush for a few yards too.
See, he believed. Anyway, see, he believed in me, TK.
So just not Hugh's parlay.
That's how they.
I took your parlay, but I tweaked two legs.
Why are you still in my drawer?
You didn't have Williams rushing yards, and you didn't have the Bears spread.
I had him.
Also, you had a Gibbs touchdown that didn't hit. So this guy just did a different parlay, hit it, and gave you credit for it.
I don't need all that.
This is preposterous.
I don't need all that venom that you have.
And Hugh, just as
I'm just keeping you in check, buddy.
A little bit. Don't take the under. Dog money lines in a parlay. Just take the spread.
I gotta become a better because I don't really understand that too much. Take
the DJ Moore. It was the DJ Moore aspect of it.
That's what blew it for you.
That's what got it for me.
DJ got a touchdown.
So fellas, yeah. I'm thinking this is my pick anyway. I'm thinking Saquon is gonna get the record. But I'm going to go out of the box a little bit. I think Jalen Hurts might win the MVP.
Brian, stop.
No, he got long eyes right now, don't he?
Yeah. And hey,
see, Jalen Hurts?
Yeah,
yes,
Jalen. Out of your mind?
We need to stop with this Jalen MVP push, okay? I mean, I get what Nick Sirianni was doing. Jalen's not an MVP candidate. Let's get real.
Let me just say, if he outperforms all the other quarterbacks from now to week 17, there's no chance he wins it?
No. I don't think.
I think it's too late in the game.
You expect that to happen, Brian?
For him to surge like that? You think? I mean, he had to do some phenomenal stuff, man.
Yeah.
There is virtually no shot Jalen Hurts wins the MVP this year.
He's going to throw for like 400 yards per game for the next 5 weeks.
Yeah, that's probably, yeah, it's from crazy.
I don't think that one's happening, Brian. Appreciate the call. And I get what Nick Sirianni's doing. He's trying to pump up the quarterback. And, hey, I've kind of come around on the Eagles can win this way. Jalen's making the plays when he needs to make them. But, Hugh, he's not an MVP candidate.
I don't think so. But he's still important.
He's important.
I think what Coach Sirianni is doing in that instance is managing egos.
Sure.
Because you have to. I mean, let's be honest, man. There's a lot. For this team to have changed so dynamically, and for the most part, there hasn't been anybody chirping, it's pretty impressive. We got two really good receivers on this squad, and they're for the most part okay with not being an integral part of what's going on right now.
Thus far, they have been, which is positive.
And I tell you, man, that's hard.
Yeah,
that's a hard. But on the flip side of that, I mean, what really can you say that doesn't make you look crazy if you're complaining about not getting touchdowns or touching the rock and y'all winning?
Right. If you're winning, I mean, it would be a bad look to be complaining.
And I will say this. This is the one truism of the NFL, is that everything comes back around. So just because these last couple of weeks has been all about Saquon and Saquon has been the focal point, doesn't mean that there's not going to be an opportunity for you to shine in certain games. Like, especially if we're talking about playoff pushes and things of that nature, AJ is going to be a big part of that.
Yeah.
Skinny Batman's going to be a big part of that. So just hold your water as long as you can, man. I know it's tough because we all have egos and everything, but your time is coming.
Absolutely, it is. And I'm sure those guys will have their opportunity. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. Now, we'll continue filling up Hugh's holiday stocking today. Be on the lookout throughout the show for this sounder.
Hello. It's Hugh's holiday stocking.
First of all, you look like a big old candy cane.
So messed up, man.
Big candy cane. When you hear that sounder later in the show, we'll clear the lines, call in. You'll have a chance to guess what's in Hugh's holiday stocking today. It's presented by Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey and Gerhard's Appliances. If you win today, you get the qualifying prize, which is a Jack Daniel's prize pack, two Jack Daniel's rocks glasses, Jack Daniel's water bottle, golf tee pack, playing cards, Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey clear tote bag, and you will
That's a lot of nice stuff.
Oh, yeah. And that's just for winning today. The grand prize you'll be entered into a chance to win, that is Jack Daniel's Yeti Cooler, a cornhole set, Jack Daniel's giant Jenga, Jack Daniel's wood smoking chips, a Weber grill, and a 55-inch smart TV courtesy of Gerhard's Appliances, thanks to Jack Daniel's Tennessee Whiskey, where you can find $3 off Jack Daniel's 175-liter bottles at your local PA. Fine wine and good spirit stores at Gerhard's Appliances, the heart of the kitchen for over 80 years, where Black Friday continues. So they'll have a chance to do that later on in the show.
That fireball jack is pretty good, too. Just went kind of fast. Yeah.
Be on the hunt for that sounder later on. We'll get back to your phone calls on the other side. Do the Eagles need the one seed? I think they do. Hugh says they can win anywhere. We'll ask Rhea Hughes about it next. Rhea will join us in studio coming up after the break. Tom Kelly in for Joe Giglio alongside Hugh Douglas. It's the Midday Show, Sports Radio 94 WIP.